Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Okay, we're back with a kind of a special episode. We're going to try to make this nice, short, and sweet. Probably one of the greatest weekends of football going down right now. Pretty excited about it with the CFP mixed in with a few NFL games. How's it going today? Heard you got a little lack of sleep last night.
Oh, it was going pretty good, you know. Took about a 2.5 hour nap, I guess. Kaylee woke me up at 1. She's like, "You've been asleep a while." It's like, I swear I just now closed my eyes and it's 2.5 hours later. It's like, awesome. I think you and Trey had texted, you know, somebody wanting a lesson texted, one of the girls texted. I was just like, oh man, was I out that hard? But, you know, hey, it's part of our job. Sometimes it happens. Sometimes we get sleep. Oftentimes we don't.
Yeah. But you got to get those hours in when you can.
Oh, absolutely.
Because you'll turn around and be right back on shift before you know it.
Yeah, that's kind of the push with the 48-96 going on right now. I think a lot of our old heads are kind of out of the way to maybe try to pass it. So
I think part of that makes more sense.
Yeah, I mean, you do all your stuff day one, then you have the second day to kind of sit around, catch your breath, and if you're a double company and you're busy, just swap trucks or whatever, and kind of go about your way. But then you got your 4 days to recover versus one and have to cram stuff in another day.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that'd make more sense for you guys for sure. So, starting today, it's the December 20th, is starting the new college football playoff. We got new brackets, new 12 teams instead of your four, all kinds of chaos going on, selection committee, overall. Committee get it right or get it wrong?
I mean, Bama's not in there. Of course they got it right. No, I think overall, they got it right. Where I think they got it wrong, Notre Dame.
Okay.
I mean, and I say that because they're not in a conference. They don't have a conference championship. You want to put them as the last one, because they had one of the worst losses to, what was it, Northern Illinois?
NIU, yeah.
And two, at home. And two, I mean, they don't have a conference championship. So you're rewarding a team without a conference championship with a home game. Mm-hmm. You know, and I get the premise of it. Yeah, you had some good wins. What, one good win?
What, USC?
Two good wins against A&M, and then against, A&M. Unfortunately, Louisville.
Yeah.
You know, and, I mean, you can make an argument Navy was one, but, I mean, the midshipmen are something else. I mean, they beat Army 19 as well, but, I mean, those two teams typically aren't there.
Yeah.
I mean, USC is USC. It's the same choke job they do every year under Lincoln. But I just don't see how you can reward them with a home game without having the conference championship.
What? Where do you put them? What's your idea?
12.
Put them last for not being in a conference?
I think you put them in a spot where they're not going to have a home game. I'm just saying 12 to be facetious.
For me, I think it should be, I mean, NCAA could really force their hand to be in a conference. They could say, hey, if you make the CFP, you're going to be 12th no matter what because you're not in a conference. Like, that's just that they could force their hand to put them in a conference. Or they could say, hey, whatever your final ranking is, no one can move below you if they lose in a conference. And and people can only move above you if they win a conference. So it should be you don't benefit any, you know, to where they could move only down and not up due to them not being in a conference. So, I mean, they could really Notre Dame's hand here in the next few years to join a conference. I know they've been high on, hey, we're non-conference, we can go play, which is cool. They get to play whoever they want, which is awesome.
And realistically, I think that they could flip-flop Indiana and Notre Dame. Indiana gets the home game, and Notre Dame goes to play them.
Well, you think about it, too. Indiana's only got one loss to a top-three team. Top two
at the time. Ohio State is number two. Yeah.
Yeah. And one loss team, you know.
I mean, and they played at the Horseshoe, which is no easy place to play, no matter how good or bad Ohio State is that year. It's kind of like Michigan. Yeah.
So, I mean, I know their strength of schedule wasn't that big, but they're still in the Big Ten with was 11-1 record.
Yep, 11-1. And they beat Nebraska.
I don't know. Everybody keeps saying Nebraska is a good win. I don't know if that's a good win or not.
Well, I'm just saying what Nebraska has been compared to what Matt Rhule is doing there now.
Yeah, they're getting better.
I mean, Nebraska's kind of Jekyll and Hyde. They were 5-2, I guess, at that point. Nebraska was. Mm-hmm. Or 5-1. Yeah. That was their second loss. And then, you know, go into Michigan State, you win there. It's not easy. You go beat Michigan 20-15. I mean, either way you look at it, that's a good win. You know, Michigan's a little bit down, but they're no slouch.
Well, you do this. You lose to Ohio State, but you beat Michigan, and Michigan beats Ohio State. You know, so it's like kind of a round robin, which I know Michigan-Ohio State is just a rivalry and anything can happen. But, you know, I don't know. It feels like they're underappreciated, but they get the chance to prove themselves, though. I mean, stuff going into Notre Dame, especially with the weather that's going on anywhere in Indiana, probably would have been bad. But
is Illinois' weather really that much different at this point in the year?
Yeah, true. Yeah, nowhere up north is all going to be bad.
I think the ones that are going to have the toughest time is SMU at Penn State.
Mm-hmm. You said that Dallas weather, and then you're going up to a whiteout with 100,000 crowd. All dressed up in white and it's snowing. That's going to be tough.
Yeah. We got a little guest listener right now.
We got a guest here. Who we got here?
We got a little back. Say hi, back.
What up, back?
You're on the podcast. Welcome to the show, buddy. Hi. Yeah, he's jumping next to me. He wants to listen in.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
For a second. But yeah, so that's kind of just my thoughts and feelings on the whole Notre Dame thing.
Yeah. All right, so let me read the playoffs for everybody here, and then we'll dive more into it. So as of now today, you got Indiana versus Notre Dame, 10-7. So I'll read the actual bracket out seed-wise. Yeah. Number one is Oregon. Number two, Georgia. 3, Boise State. 4, Arizona State.
And reminder to people at home, the top 4 are idle this week. They have a bye.
Yes, they are on a bye. That's the benefits of them winning their conference, which I think is awesome. That's what you get for winning your conference. You deserve that. Number 5, we have Texas, who's going to be playing number 12, Clemson. You have number 6, Penn State, who's going to be playing number 11, SMU. You have number 7, Notre Dame, playing Indiana, number 10. And then on the other side of the bracket, you have 8, Ohio State, playing number 9, Tennessee. Another thing I've heard is that kind of Oregon got screwed pretty much for being a 1 seed, and their first game out of the gate is going to be either Ohio State or Tennessee. where on the other side of the bracket, you got a Penn State who's playing at SMU, goes to play a Boise State, and then they won't have, you know, Georgia maybe in the semis if it comes down to it. So, I mean, what do you do there? Do you think it's fair? Do you think it's right? Do you think Oregon deserves to play Ohio State, Tennessee right off the bat, or should it be reseeded after everything's folded down?
I mean, you have another essentially, what was it? 1, 2, 3, 4. Week 6 conference game, that thriller 32-31 game with Ohio State and Oregon. You know, you can potentially have that, or you know, or a Tennessee team that I think has struggled a little bit to find their identity this year. You see glimpses of it. You see how good they can be. And then you see a completely different team. It's almost, I hate using this in context, but like a better LSU.
Yeah.
They'll come out one week and just show out, and then all of a sudden the next week it's what happened.
Yeah.
Please,
he's finally talking now.
Oh, yeah. Being a tattletale.
But
he's playing with a lighter, she's lighting a candle, dude.
The Oregon game was really good. I think Oregon won by what, 3 or something?
1. 32-31.
Okay, so they're getting in the field goal range and clock ran out. Played them good, you know. And then you have to have a rematch right off the bat, you know, if Ohio State beats Tennessee. And I agree with you, too. Tennessee looks good when they are playing good. But when they're not playing good, like when you saw them against Arkansas, upset them, it looked rough. So, but that's, then again, freshman quarterback under center in an SEC starting out his career. And then now, first time in the college football playoffs.
Yeah. Go ahead.
Getting to see what he's made of real quick.
Yeah, and Tennessee is a very kind of deceiving 10-2 record.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's I don't know. Hey, they could very well be an 11-1 team or a 12-0 team.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they didn't show up against Georgia, in which I guess that game was close-ish for a little bit. And then all of a sudden it was, I guess, 17-17 at half, and then Georgia held them to scoreless the last 2 quarters, you know, so it's really one of those deals. What?
It's
okay.
And then obviously the Arkansas let down where they completely failed to show up.
Yeah. So they had the rankings here and kind of explained how they got ranked there. It shows Oregon, highest ranked conference champion, Big Ten, seeded number 1. Georgia, second highest ranked conference champion, SEC, seeded 2. Had the at-large bid, second team from the SEC, seeded number 5. So it has them ranked number 3, but they got the number 5 seed because they didn't win their conference.
Mm-hmm.
Penn State at 4, at-large bid, second team in the Big Ten, seeded number 6. Notre Dame, at-large bid, independent, seeded number 7. 6, Ohio State, at-large bid, third team from the Big Ten, seeded number 8. Tennessee at large bid, third team in the SEC, seeded at 9. Indiana at large bid, fourth team from the Big Ten, seeded number 10. Boise State got the third highest ranked conference champion, Mountain West, and seeded number 3. So they're originally ranked 9, but they get the 3 seed for winning their conference, which I really like. SMU at large bid from the ACC, and seeded number 11. They had a Bama at 11, first team out of the CFP, and then Arizona at 12. Fourth highest ranked conference champion and seeded number 4. So you had a 12th ranked Arizona jump up to 4th seed because they won their conference. And then you got Clemson, who's ranked 16th, but they're the 5th highest ranked conference champion, ACC, and seeded number 12. So they got in due solely only to winning their conference, basically, which I think is fair. You win your conference, you get to go.
See, that's one right there where you could easily make an argument. Say, okay, Clemson should be above Notre Dame. They won their conference. Notre Dame didn't play a conference.
Yeah.
But I'm glad I don't have to make those decisions because that's how I would work things.
You move Arizona State up from 12th to 4th because they win their conference. Clemson was ranked 16th, but they win their conference. You know, you get to move up to what, fifth, you know?
Well, or you move them up to the spot of where they're going to get that home game. They're not going to play at Texas because both of those teams realistically deserve a home game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so why not move Clemson to a spot where they're not going to play a Texas on the road? You know, and essentially be a conference winner, having to go into enemy territory.
Yeah. So what's the point winning your conference if you're going to go on the road first round?
Mm-hmm.
But then again, you're ranked 16th coming into the season. You know, you're the fifth ranked conference winner. I mean, if you looked at it, if Clemson won, realistically, if what you wanted to do, swap Notre Dame with Clemson, Notre Dame goes to the road game because they didn't win a conference, mm-hmm. and then let Clemson be the higher seed of Indiana, and Indiana goes to Clemson.
Yeah.
I just feel like you should be rewarded a home game if you win your conference.
Because mm-hmm. really, you look at it, the top six.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
I don't remember. Because the top four obviously are getting their buys.
They got their buys, yeah.
You know, and then you have 5, 6, 7, 8 are getting their home games.
Uh-huh.
I mean, surely there's something in there where you can jostle something around where, okay, well, we're not going to have an Ohio State-Oregon rematch right away out of the gate.
Uh-huh.
You know, we could do that in the semifinal instead of in a quarterfinal.
Yeah.
But a game that I would like to see again would be a Boise State-Oregon. Because if you remember, That game scared Oregon. I think that was their turning point of the season.
Yeah, when I saw that game, I was like, man, Oregon's going to be a 3-loss team, you know. Mm-hmm. And I guess it's what scared them, kicked them into gear, which no one really expected Boise State to be as good as they were. And I think surprised them. And when they finally got their mind on right, it was a test they needed early to, you know, say, hey, anybody can beat us at any time. And then Boise State rose up to being, hey, we're actually a contender, you know, week two into the season. So
yeah,
absolutely. I like that. I like the 12. You get awarded a bye for top four. Arizona State was predicted to be last in the Big 12 and end up winning it. I mean, that's pretty awesome. They get to go to rank fourth. They deserve that for their rankings, yeah.
We were projected to win, and we lost it.
Yeah, y'all stopped these places. I went to you in Arizona State. It stopped, went to bottom. Awesome what they're doing. Was it Scataboo, their running back?
Yo, dude, beast.
He looks like that X-Men that runs through walls. What's his name?
Juggernaut?
Yeah, that's how he runs.
Or he's like Stone Cold in Longest Yard.
Yeah. Oh, boys run, man. <You like that? laughs> Yeah, he's a beast. I'm excited. So they'll get the winner of Texas Clemson. And the way they're doing it is first round buys. For people that don't know, first round buys for the top four. The other eight teams are playing with the higher ranked team gets a home game for a playoff. And each other game is going to be a bowl game. So your quarterfinals are going to be bowl games, semifinals are going to be bowl games, and then you're just going to have your national championship, which I think is in Atlanta this year.
Yes, it is.
And they're pushing it back all the way to, like, what, February something now? Or January 30th or something like that? Let me see. I got it right here.
January 20th.
January 20th?
Yeah.
Yeah, so, yeah, they got the, I guess, yeah. 9th and 10th are the semis in the national championship. They don't have, I don't know. It's on, you said the 20th?
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
So, all right. The biggest, I've been on a rampage on this one. I think you and Trey have gotten a lot out of that. The biggest disservice, embarrassment, and screw you in college football, in which the NCAA owes this young man an apology. So I'm throwing the red flag on that. I want a review of everything. It's a 15-yard penalty. There's no reason that Ashton Jeanty should not have won the Heisman.
Yes.
He's basically the top in just about everything. You know, and let's not forget about San Jose State receiver that led all receivers in all categories, got screwed out of the top receiver in the nation award, too. I just don't see how, and I'm not trying to discredit the young man. Congratulations to him for, Coach Prime purchasing some awards, but I'm just not sold on the fact that that's your Heisman Trophy winner.
I mean, credit to him. It's a two-way player. That's the biggest argument people have. He does ball out both sides. He's a great player. But as a committee, it's just one of those where it sounded like they bought into the hype too much. Like, he was just, they were giving him interview after interview. Jeanty mm-hmm. was just kind of a backstage guy, you know, like the janitor doing all the work but not getting the credit. Mm-hmm. And it's just one of those where, yeah, credit to the guy, but there was some awards he shouldn't have won. Like you said, the was it Melikoff or what's the wide receiver one? I can't remember it. Nash or whatever from San Jose State. Mm-hmm. First in receptions, yards, touchdowns, yards after catch, whatever it is. First. And you give it to a guy that's ranked, like, what, fifth and everything?
And he was a converted quarterback, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
But it's just one of those where it felt like the committee had to give him more awards so they could give him the Heisman to justify it. Mm-hmm. And like I said, credit to him winning all those. I'm not going to turn them down if someone gives me an award. You know, you're going to be excited for it. He's good. He deserves some awards. But there was somewhere it was blatant obvious to where, like you said, the wide receiver award that you have first. And you have the triple crown in wide receiver stats. And it's not just like a Joe Schmo. You know, San Jose, you know, it's not your ideal college. But still, to pull those numbers off in college football, it's just insane. And I saw somewhere where they're talking about his stats against ranked teams, and it wasn't, like, really good. You know, anytime they played a ranked team, his stats weren't that good. Mm-hmm. But it's just, I'm just over trying to argue about it because it was like you knew, you could see the writing on the wall that they were going to give it to him. Once they started talking about it, saying Heisman hopes are up, you know, as soon as it was over, like, the media just got involved, and it was saying like a signed, sealed, delivered 2-3 weeks out. And I feel sorry for Jeanty, who had a chance to bring a would have been Boise's first Heisman, wouldn't it? Or their quarterback, Allen, or not Keenan, was it Keenan or whatever? He had a chance to win it. The guy that's a...
Kellen Moore,
sorry, yeah. I think he was kind of on the top four when he was in college, and he had a stud year. But
here's the difference in Nash and Hunter. Nash's lines, 104 catches, tops. 1,382 yards, tops. 13.3 average. Okay, I mean, that's not top, but it's a good average. His longest is 45, 16 touchdowns. Okay. Hunter, 92 catches, 1,100 yards, 12.5 average, 14 touchdowns. And Hunter played more garbage time minutes to StatPad, in which Jeanty sat out, I think they said, 2 games worth of quarters to in blowouts to, one, preserve him, and two, you know, not run up the scores. So imagine if he had played those 2 games, what would that have, or those cumulative up to eight quarters. What would it have been? 350-yard rushing games? Maybe a 400-yard rushing game?
Does he already got Barry Sanders' record by that time?
Oh, I think so.
This guy's near breaking with Melvin Gordon and Barry Sanders' record. You know, Barry Sanders has been around since, you know, 80s, 90s. Mm-hmm. And then Gordon's was back in early 2000s, mid-2000s. You got records that hardly touched. But just seeing his stats next to the last three running backs that won Heisman, Ingram, Henry, and who's the third one?
Bush.
There was a third running back. Yes, Reggie Bush.
Yeah.
Blows them out of the water. If you put them four stats together, he's better than all the other three.
He was almost 1,000 more yards than the next person behind him this year.
My favorite stats was he has more rushing yards than this many FBS schools, and it showed like 40 of them, 50 of them. Mm-hmm. By himself, he has more rushing yards than all of them combined, or he has more touchdowns than all these teams combined, and it was more than 40.
Or this many yards above or runs like more than this amount of yardage than schools. It's just astronomical what he did. And he ran for 192 yards and three TDs against Oregon in their week three game.
Yeah, and that's where people are like, well, he doesn't play anybody. I was like, did you see his stats against Oregon?
Mm-hmm.
His stats against Oregon, like, he tore it up. And they played.
I don't care if you're not playing anybody. If you're geared up because you know you're playing Boise State and you're gearing up to stop the run and he's still running it down your throat, that is the workhorse. That is the man on that team, and that is the reason that they are up at number three. Besides that stellar offensive line that does their job to make sure he gets those yards.
Well, they'll have the winner of Penn State, SMU, and I just think it's going to be his revenge game. I think he's going to go off.
Oh, I hope he runs for 250 and four touchdowns.
It's just one of those. It's just... It's frustrating because it's one of those to where a guy is at a school that you wouldn't think would have someone like that, that puts in the work, sets the numbers, and then you give to a guy like I said, Hunter's good. He deserves a lot of awards. But just to, you know, just because of his name or what program he's at or who's his coach, you know, it's one of those that's just frustrating as a college football fan to say, why do you even keep stats?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's a popularity contest, and it's like, why should we even keep stats if you're going to just give it to whoever you want?
Yep.
And we're trying to say, oh, it's the closest ever. Yeah, it shouldn't even been close, to be honest with you. Like, it's just, and then people trying to defend Hunter, which, I mean, like I said, he's good. I give him credit, but it's just, you can't be in denial about it. It's one of those where it was cut and dry. Now, if he was best defender, you know, like Woodson had top-notch stats and all his stuff, mm-hmm. he was above average on both, you know, not great on either one, like fantastic stats. But once I saw that they gave him the wide receiver award, I was like, it's over. They're going to give it to him. They're setting him up to where they can say, oh, he's won these four awards. You know, he deserves the Heisman. No, he shouldn't have won the wide receiver one. But it's just, it's frustrating. And it's hard for that young man, Ginty. You know, he put in all that work and put in all those numbers. And the offensive line, too, like you said, for Jindy's offensive line, they're like, mm-hmm. we worked hard for that, trying to get him his stats, his run, his average, his yards. Yeah. You know, I think they said even his yards were higher after contact more than this many teams, which was like 50 more, you know, and just by him after contact.
Yeah.
Baffling. Insane.
Yeah, it's definitely mind-blowing. You know, I think to me the Heisman should have been in order. What did I say? Ginty, Gabriel, Cam, Ward, and then Travis Hunter.
Yeah,
that's my thoughts. Cam Ward had a phenomenal year as a quarterback. You know, everyone's like, "Oh, Dylan Gabriel." I was like, Cam Ward actually kind of outplayed him, didn't he?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, to me, those two quarterbacks are interchangeable with what they did to their teams. obviously Gabriel has a hand up because they went undefeated.
Mm-hmm. I really think that last loss, not only to get out of the CFP, but that last loss really hurt anybody from Miami.
Yeah.
For any rewards or especially their playoff contentions.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, it's just tough, man. It's where you just see you don't have, you know, I guess it's the committee of like what, 12 or 15 people voting or something, or what, how does it work? Or
mm-hmm.
is it the, or is that the CFP? They got a whole bunch of other people voting, like newspaper people and everything, right? For yeah. Heisman. So it's, yeah. like I said, media. Once the media got that train rolling, you know, whichever, whoever they promote, everybody seems to promote. And I barely saw any interviews with Genty. Saw hundreds of interviews with Hunter. He was on Van Pelt. He was on ESPN. He was on this podcast, you know, just everywhere. And it was like, once you saw that, you're like, it's done. You know, it's just who you know and what websites you can get on, get your name out there. And then those media people are going to vote for you when it comes down to the Heisman competition. So it's,
here's a fun fact. Genty did not have a single game during 2024 regular season with fewer than 125 yards rushing, averaging 7.3 yards per carry, and accounted for 77% of Boise State's rushing yards this season.
Those are game stats. Those are PlayStation stats, you know. Those are console stats, man. That's insane. It's just it's frustrating, man. It's just, you read all his stats and it's baffling. Just the
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Comparisons to other teams and and what he did this year was just crazy. I always just go back to the ones of the three Heisman running backs that's won it before him. He's outdid them by 400 yards on somebody, five extra touchdowns on somebody, you know, and it's just insane.
His worst game was 130 yards rushing with one touchdown. Okay.
For that defense, that's success. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, it's frustrating, man. It is frustrating, and it's just one of those where everybody's like, okay, well, the Heisman means nothing now. I think it definitely leaves a bad taste in any future Heismans from here on out, you know. And then you're questioning old Heismans, you know, who deserved it, who shouldn't, you know. You open a whole Pandora's box, and it's just one of those where it's just look at the stats and just go by stats. Who's got the best stats? Who's having a great year? Who's having – and the main thing, other main argument, too, was – if you put, they said if you put Genty on Colorado's team, he would be, they would be in the CFP. If you put Hunter on Boise's team, they would probably not make the CFP. And that's all you need to know about who's Heisman, who's the,
yeah.
You know,
exactly.
wins above
replacement.
Like baseball war, you know, who if you swap them out,
yep.
You know, one guy's going to leave.
Here's my deal. You know, I kind of reflect back to the 2022 Heisman. That was a joke as well, in which Mr. Pink Fingernails won it.
Yeah.
You know, and he didn't have the best year of anybody that year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he made it because he went to USC and this and that. I was like, okay, I'm sorry, but no.
It was another hype show. That's all it is. It's just who can hype who up the most. Mm-hmm. And it's just, it's sad that it's come down to that, because most of your voters are, you know, newspaper columnists and all of those people.
Yep.
And it's just, like I said, it comes down to popularity contest.
Yep. So, I mean, and this isn't trying to take away from people that won the Heisman. I get you went out, you played, you had a good season. My thing is you can't go at the kid for what voters did. Now, we can criticize it. We can critique it. We can say our feelings on it. But and for people that are listening, this is no way attacking Travis Hunter. This is no way attacking Caleb Williams. It's attacking the system and the process of how it was decided. And what we feel is what should have been the rightful winners or alternate decisions that could have been made, not just a popularity contest.
You want to know who votes for Heisman? I just found this out. I didn't know this was the case. The Heisman Trophy Trust consists of 928 votes, 145 media votes from 6 voting regions. So it's all media.
Yeah.
Totaling 870, with 57 coming from former Heisman winners who are not obligated to cast a ballot, and 1 fan vote.
Okay, so what I would like to know is who did the former Heisman winners vote for?
That's who I want to know. I don't know.
Go back to 2010. Just take the last 14. Go back to Cam Newton, who won it in 2010. I want to know. Or you can go back to 2005 when Reggie Bush won it and go for the next 15, 20 years and see who they voted for. I can almost guarantee who Ricky Williams voted for. I can guarantee who, you know, Reggie Bush and Mark Ingram, Derrick Henry, and some of those guys. I can almost guarantee who they voted for. Oh, that's a fellow running back, and he's killing it. That's my speculation. Now, could I be off base? Yeah. But that is my speculation. That's my thought about it.
Yeah. I don't know where you... I bet that will always be anonymous, I guess. Who voted for who?
Sorry, the wife about tripped on the rug for the second time today. It almost went down.
Now you're off duty. We're not taking any falls with injuries.
Yeah, I'm off duty.
So, yeah. You're going to get me riled up on the Heisman thing. It's just, I'd like to see who voted for who. That'd be...
Yes. Yes.
That'd be awesome. Who voted for who, but we'll finish this up with our predictions. Since the game starts at 8, I'm going to try to get this thing cut and put out there, and we're going to try to get this thing like I said, today is the 20th, Friday. You got Indiana, Notre Dame playing tonight at 8, I guess, and let's do our quick little poll on who you think is going to win, who you got, kind of run through our whole bracket, and then we'll call it an episode.
Yeah.
Because I'm going to splice those two together since my earbuds just cut you off right when you're about to go. It probably gave you time to take a breather and come in with a little cooler head. All right. So we're going to start with tonight's game. You got Indiana versus Notre Dame, 10 versus 7. Indiana's playing at Notre Dame. Cold game. What's your thoughts?
Who I'm going for is Indiana. You know, their coach has a history of winning. He wins. Coach of the year. And who do I realistically think will probably win is Notre Dame, mm-hmm. the Irish. But who I want to win is Illinois.
Yeah. Okay. So Notre Dame would – who you got winning? Notre Dame would be moving on to play Georgia, the 2 seed. We'll move on down on the same side of the bracket. 6 Penn State playing 11 SMU at Penn State.
It's kind of the same thing. You know, I've been to Happy Valley. I've seen that atmosphere. I've been around that atmosphere from being with the Pirates. Who do I think will win? Especially, you know, Dallas boys going up to the Northeast and playing in that awful, awful weather. Mm-hmm. I think Penn State will win. I would love to see SMU win. Basically, you want to give us the death penalty, and we're going to come back and we're going to show you how it's done. The SMU millionaire and billionaires are showing out, and they're wanting their team to be good again. You know, I believe it was, back to the Eric Dickerson days and all that,
I think it's funny that SMU is good again once they can pay their players again. We've been waiting 40 years for this.
Yeah. Everybody else is doing it. We just got caught at the wrong time.
Yeah, got caught several times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I would love to see SMU win. I want to see them keep succeeding. It's the underdog thing.
Yep.
you know, the low expectations. Oh, we don't expect them to do anything. No, you go into Clemson and you play Clemson the way you did in the championship. If you don't spot them, what was it, 17, 21 points, they win that game.
Yeah. SMU definitely had to play for their spot in the CFP with their conference championship in the ACC. First year in ACC, making it to the championship game, losing to Clemson on a thriller. I think them showing out and coming back from that halftime deficit to almost to taking a lead and then losing there at the end, I think definitely proved to the CFP committee that they're going to fight once they put them with a Penn State or something like that.
And you have Dabo. He goes, that is a playoff team right there. They deserve to be in it. If they're not in it, nothing's right.
Yeah, yeah. So if Penn State wins, they'll be going on to play the 3-seed Boise State in the quarterfinals. We'll rock it on over to the other side. You got a 9 Tennessee, 9 Tennessee versus 8 Ohio State.
Going to the horseshoe. Ryan Day is coaching for his job. Every week he's coaching for his job. I think for him it may be championship or bust. They have a very talented roster. They are like them and Tennessee are the same this year. I look at them and Tennessee as the same. You never know which one you're going to get. Mm-hmm. If neither one of them show up, it's going to be a sloppy game. If they both show up, it's going to be smash mouth, or you know, they're going to be track meeting and putting up points. You know, I'm going to roll the dice a little bit. I'm going Tennessee.
So Tennessee will move on to play number one Oregon, and the last one of the first round will be number 12 Clemson at number 5 Texas. Clemson sneaking in, even after that loss with South Carolina, got into the ACC championship with Miami losing to Syracuse, with the Syracuse coach telling Debo, you're welcome, pretty much. Got Clemson in. Clemson had like 9% chance after losing to South Carolina to get in, and then with the dominoes falling the way they did with Miami losing, they got in, ended up winning the championship, conference championship, and sneaking their way in as that 12th seed. But then they face a good Texas team that's only got, what, 2 losses on the year, both to Georgia. Austin's a tough place to play. You got the Longhorns, you said?
Yeah, I got the Longhorns. I like Sarkisian. I like how he coaches. I like that team overall. They're going to be healthy now. My biggest question mark is quarterback play. Is Quinn Ewers, is his lat or his abdominal area that was injured, is it 100% healthy? Now he's dealing with an ankle injury. You kind of see it in his throws since he came back. There's not as much zip on it. It's like he's babying it. I think if he comes out slow, I think he goes to the bench and we see Arch Manning come take it over for the Longhorns. That's how I see it.
Kind of a kiss of death with that Dr. Pepper commercial. Really, karma's coming around on him with that, where he says, what was it, the boss is like, we need backup. And he goes, we don't need backup, because he's played so many backup.
Right.
Ever since that commercial's come out, I think he's been hurt 2 or 3 times since then. Good hands.
Yeah, I would like to segue a little bit off of this. So there's been speculation that Quinn will declare for the draft, or there's been speculation that he'll come back for one more year to up his draft stock. I know there's supposedly one Big Ten team that has offered him in excess of $4 million. I think he could go to a team like Oregon that will need a quarterback for 1 year and really succeed in that program.
His stock?
Yeah. That's my little soapbox on that one. But I think if he comes out and he struggles, I think Sarkisian it's a quick hook, arches in, and then he takes him the rest of the way.
I heard news that Belichick was looking for one of the two, either Archie or Ewers, you know, willing to put up some big money for either one of those. If Ewers stays, I'm sure Manning will be looking to go somewhere. He's not looking to set 3 years on the bench.
I think they've already declared Arch is the starter after this year.
Okay, so Ewers is out. Yeah, I think they're in good hands either way. If Ewers can go and play, he's going to be good. If he can't, you got a stud right behind him. It's going to be tough to beat that quarterback play. The only teams that
Go ahead.
That it was just Georgia put them in their place twice. You know, which that second mm-hmm. game was really tough. Was a smash mouth and just pursued, just put four quarters all together. That's what's going to take is four quarters of solid play to beat them. And Georgia did both games.
Yeah. And you know, Texas, they didn't show up at all when they played Georgia at home. I think they kind of took advantage. Oh, we're at home. They're in our house. We're going to walk through this. No, they got humbled and they turned it around. I think whenever you knock their quarterback out and, you know, you put him into a minor flat line for a minute, that was definitely a dead body on the field for about 30 seconds. But once he's out of the game, you see Beck coming in. He's holding that arm. You stack the line of scrimmage. He can't throw. Make him throw it left-handed. Make him prove he's going to throw it. Stack the line of scrimmage. Jailhouse it. Get in there. Stop him.
Everybody knew it was going to be a run.
Yep.
And they said every point scored against Texas was by ETN. ETN mm-hmm. or Beck, I think, scored mm-hmm. the touchdown. Was a result of 100% of their points games. So it's one of those where everybody knew he was going to run. You knew Beck had a hurt arm. Like you said, stack the line, force them to kick the field goal and go to another OT.
Because what are you, 7 yards out? If he gets through a stacked line too deep, or he gets around an edge, you tip your hat. Hey, you know, you did something right. You got through it. Stack the line. Stack the line. Stack the line. Stack the line. Say it again for those in the back. Stack the line.
So you got Texas moving on to play number 4, Arizona State.
I will say that Clemson will give them a ball game. That is a well-coached team. You know, Dabo's mm-hmm. finally dabbled into the NIL transfer portal, and he's woken up to it, and he's a heck of a coach. He will have his players ready to go.
I know he fought it for the longest time. I think it was him, Army, and Navy were like the three teams that didn't have any transfer portals.
Mm-hmm.
And now I think he's either adapting or dying. It's one of those where mm-hmm. you don't get with the time. Saban said, I'm bowing out. I'm not going to fight that monster. Smart time to get out because it's only gotten worse since then. Yep. And Debo's wanting to stick around for a while. And so he's ready. Or Dabo. Sorry, I keep saying Debo. Dabo keeps – he's –
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
That he did that because he wants to stick around and coach for a while.
Yep.
So we'll get into the quarterfinals. We'll go along with what we said. You said Texas is going to win. Texas, Arizona State in the quarterfinals.
I think it's another good game for a half, and I think Texas just overpowers them. They take it over. I don't really think you have to worry about Arizona State's passing game too much. They're like a Boise State. They're going to rely on the run. They're going to rely to wear you down. I think Texas is too big, strong, and fast. They're going to start queuing on Scatabo. And once that happens, I think Arizona State panics, and then that's when Texas takes over.
Yeah, I just don't know if Arizona State's ever played anybody that powerful, you know, in the Big 12. I don't know if there was anybody that was just smash mouth. And then can throw on top of that. So, I agree with you. It'd probably be a half will be close. And then Sarkisian makes some second half adjustments and kind of run away with it slowly. And it'll be a little bigger spread than what you think by the end of the game when you look up.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, you got Texas beating Arizona State going into the semifinals.
Yep.
We'll just go over to the 6-3, Penn State versus Boise State. That should be a good game.
Well, it'll be a good game. You know, it'll be where are they at? The Fiesta Bowl? So really, weather is not going to take into effect of any of these quarterfinal games. I'm going to stick with Boise. I like the underdog because, you know, they're going to go into that game as the underdog to a Penn State Big Ten team. But I'm going to stick with Boise.
Gotcha. So Boise moving on into the semifinals. You move up to the Georgia-Notre Dame game. That'll be at a bowl game, so you won't have to deal with weather. That should be a good game.
Did I say Notre Dame was going to win?
You were rooting for Indiana, but I thought you said overall you think Notre Dame was going
to win. Okay, that's right. That's right. I think that's fine. I think unless Georgia figures out their whole quarterback situation and they make the necessary adjustments, I think this game could be a toss up. You know, if you have which the kid came in and he played good. Is he going to be able to play on a stage like that at the Sugar Bowl? Is he going to be able to continue that? Because really, Georgia was in a win-win situation in the conference game almost. They weren't going to drop them out of the top 12. Mm-hmm. That's kind of how I feel about it.
They were fighting for one game, a bye, yeah. First bye, yeah. Is what they were fighting. Yeah.
If Georgia figures out their game plan with a quarterback like him, because I don't think Beck will be able to go. And if he is, he's not going to be
Beck is
70%.
Out.
Is he?
I think I thought Beck was ruled out, yes.
Okay.
So then, that's where my side is. I'm thinking Notre Dame might slide in and sneak up on them with the backup QB. If I had my records, I would say I'd kind of guess everything that you've said so far. But I would put Notre Dame upsetting Georgia just for the fact that Beck was out. That backup quarterback did good, but you could tell they just weren't the same.
Mm-hmm.
He scored that first touchdown, surprised everybody. Yeah. And then it was kind of, hey, we're gonna have to run the ball because he's not gonna be a Beck.
I agree with everything you're saying. I'm gonna double down on what you're saying. I think if they come out not having their game plan and Beck is 100% out, I think Notre Dame can sneak up on him. I'll take Notre Dame.
Okay, so we got Notre Dame moving into the. Semis, we'll jump to the other side. The number one team overall, undefeated Oregon versus, you said, Tennessee, upsetting Oregon or Ohio State at the Shoe. Tennessee-Oregon game should be a nice matchup.
Oregon will win, but it all depends on how big because of which Tennessee team shows up once again. Yeah, I think if Tennessee does show up, it'll be a good game. It'll be within 10 points. And I know people are like, oh, well, that's a big margin. It's like, yes and no. Because if you keep an Oregon team like that within 10 points, something can happen. Mm-hmm. You know, you're one turnover away from a one-score game. You know, then you get that score, and then you're one stop away from tying or taking a lead. I mean, it's just simple as that. I mean, you put pressure on Oregon, which they haven't felt since really, I guess – The Ohio State game and the Boise game. Other than that, they run away with the conference. They ran away with games. I think they could fold, but I'm going to take Oregon.
I'm curious to see how these bye weeks affect these higher seeds. I'm curious to see if, you know, Tennessee coming off a win and in the Shoe, how much momentum that'll take them into playing Oregon. Or vice versa, you know, Ohio State getting a big win against Tennessee going into playing in Oregon. Does the 2 weeks help with everybody getting healthy with game planning? Or does it, you know, I know with baseball taking days off, it's usually a curse to take off because you lose all your momentum, your timing and everything. I'm just curious to see how these top four teams do against teams that played the week before and them having a bye week. And just to see how that affects them. So that's one thing. That's kind of a big question to ask for this new CFP bracket and how that goes. But like I said, I believe what you're saying. Tennessee is going to – depends who shows up. It could be a really good game. Could be Oregon running away with it. But I would say Oregon as well.
So here's my thing with Oregon is really at an advantage in this one. Yeah. All the other teams with a bye are prepping for two quarterbacks, two different offensive styles.
Mm-hmm.
Two different offensive styles. Whereas Oregon, they know how Ohio State plays. They played them. Mm-hmm. They don't have to prepare for them as much, whereas they can focus a little more on Tennessee.
Yeah.
They can also insert the same type of game plan that they had when they played Ohio State But Arizona State doesn't know how Clemson or Texas is going to play. Boise State doesn't know how SMU or Penn State are going to play. Same thing with Georgia. Indiana's going to play a lot different than Notre Dame. You know, so yeah. It's really these other teams, except for really Oregon, are prepping for two different styles until they know who won. Because you know they're going through the week right now, and they're like, okay, we're going to focus this many days on this many days on this. Whereas you're not getting your full amount of prep for that one team.
Yeah. That would be the only rematch that could happen other than if Georgia and Texas meet in the championship, mm-hmm. I think. I don't think there's any other teams that's played each other previously, unless you get to like a Ohio State, Penn State, you know, Big Ten. Other than that, I don't think, you know, SMU, Clemson can play again if they ever did. Did they ever play, or were they ACC too big? They never met.
Yeah, that was the first time they saw each other.
Tennessee, Georgia could meet in the championship, you know, but Oregon, they're all on the other side of the bracket. So I think Oregon, Ohio State would be the only one to rematch two rounds deep. So.
Yeah. I mean, did Oregon play Penn State?
I think so, yeah. I want to say.
Okay, so then, that's another potential.
Well, that's what rematch. I'm saying. Every rematch is usually on the other side of the bracket.
You have to make the championship.
Oregon State or Oregon's got them, you know, week two.
Ooh, okay, yeah. So you're in the quarterfinal versus the semi or later.
Yeah. Gotcha. So, yeah, I can see what you're saying there. They do have an advantage. They know they can spend more time on Tennessee. They've already prepped for Ohio State. They can watch game. They got game film on Ohio State.
Mm-hmm.
What their defense does, their way about it. But
now, if Ohio State comes in with the attitude of us against the world, they're a dangerous team. They could easily win the national championship. But they come in, poor, pitiful me, woe is me, you know, Ryan, our coach is coaching for his job. We had that putting pressure on themselves. It'll be a one and done.
Yeah, I agree. So you got Oregon over Tennessee. You got Texas over Arizona State, Notre Dame over Georgia, and you had SMU over Penn State. So Notre Dame, Boise in the semis.
In the semis. I'm still taking them. I'm riding Boise. I'm riding the Broncos.
Nice. I would love to see that, but I'm going to say Notre Dame.
Yeah.
I would love to see Boise. GNT, just to say, hey, you're not voting for me. I got my team in the national championship game.
Put me on my back, boys.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah. I would love to see that, but I'm going to go with Notre Dame sneaking in there just because of Bank being injured, moving on, having momentum, playing Boise.
Yeah.
So you have Boise, and then on the other side you got Oregon versus Texas, which would be great game. So you got DeMont moving on against Oregon.
Mm-hmm. I don't want to break Trey's heart because Dan Lanning and all that, but
I know it's so hot though. Because of his hotness.
but I mean, I love Oregon. I've always loved them. I love the colors and their uniforms and everything else like that. But I have to be the homer. I got to stick with Texas.
Yeah, I mean, I can see that Texas get on a hot hand. They have a great team and can make that run. I'm just going to stick with Oregon just because they've just been winning, man. They have to go against a undefeated team. So I'm going to go with Oregon. Oregon and Notre Dame are my final two. You got Texas and Boise. National championship, who you got?
Texas.
Texas taking it all, huh?
I think it'll be a big smash-mouth game with the run games. But I think ultimately, because of quarterback play alone, with either Ewers or Manning, they can strike quick. You know, so if they are down, they're able to strike just like that. And I don't know if Boise can sustain a drive against a stacked line like a Texas team or someone, because you know they'll bend. It's like, okay, you want to throw it, we'll let you throw it until we're not going to let you.
Yeah. I would go with Oregon over Notre Dame, probably in a shootout, high scoring game, just complete the undefeated season, rooting for Gabriel, good dude. It'd be a tough road, but would like to see it.
Oh, yeah.
The only other thing I could see, though, too, is if you know, Georgia gets on the right track, Beck comes back, they can make a push and could see a round three, Georgia, Texas. And I think that would favor Texas.
It's tough to beat a team. Times.
I don't think it's ever happened, has it? Has they ever played three times?
I don't think so.
It'd beat a team three times, but I think if that happens, you know, it'd be a dogfight between Georgia and Texas. But ultimately, I'm going to say Oregon over Notre Dame.
Yep. That's a good one. And I can realistically see in that, too. The matchup I would love to see for the championship would have been a Texas-Oregon.
Yeah.
To me, if they get to the semis, that is realistically your championship game.
Yeah, that's about like a who's that back? Michigan, Texas, or Michigan, Bama? You know, kind of was like the championship before championship.
Yeah,
you
know? Or a Bills, Chiefs. I mean, too bad they're in the same conference. Yeah. Or like the other night, the Bills Lions is really, you know, your Super Bowl game.
Oh yeah, awesome. We'll get to that next episode. That's our CFP prediction. I'll try to get this thing cut for tonight. I know you got to get going, and we'll try to get this up before the game starts tonight and see how our predictions go.
Absolutely. Can't wait. And then we'll be back pretty quick with another episode. Hopefully all three of this will be on this one. It'll be after this round of games, after Christmas, you know. Hope you boys have a good Christmas with the families. Merry Christmas at that. Safe travel, safe working.
Yeah, we did ours today with the family. Brooke's going to go down to Fort Worth with OU against Navy for their bowl game. So she's going to be gone a few days before Christmas all the way to the 27th. So we had to knock ours out today. Just kind of winging it with our schedules, you know. Everybody making it work, getting it together.
You ever find out about that basketball thing?
No, I'll ask her right now. So
okay,
text me again which one you want.
I mean, just like we did with the volleyball thing last year, just something similar to that. I mean, I'll even send money again for a ball and be like, thank you, oh great one.
Yeah, I'll ask her right now. So
sweet. Yeah. Well, hopefully Trey jumps on with you here in a little bit, and you know, you get his take as well. And I can't wait to see what and how everything finishes.
Yeah, yeah. We can get his take, or we'll just talk to him next episode. We'll see.
Right.
All right, buddy. Well, enjoy whatever your wife tells you to do it. Enjoy it.
Happy wife, happy life, right?
Exactly. All right, happy CFP season.
Heck yeah.
Merry Christmas, brother.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.